This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos reporting from the newsroom in New York, and it's time we had that awkward conversation. It's about Venmo etiquette. We're navigating through the do's and don'ts that come up when we digitally pay each other for stuff. You think it's easy? It's not. There's help after these tech headlines. Apple is seeing a big shakeup in leadership. The Journal's Trip Mickle says it also is reordering priorities across various divisions like services, AI, hardware, and retail. The goal? To lower reliance on iPhone sales. We learn the changes made include high-profile hires, including promoting its AI chief. Apple also trimmed 200 staffers from its autonomous vehicle project. It's also redirecting much of the engineering resources in its services business. Tripp goes on to note that services also is key to preserving iPhone loyalty. Apple has said it aims to pass 500 million paid subscriptions across its platform by 2020. That's up from 360 million now. Amazon has jumped on the electric vehicle bandwagon, leading a $700 million investment round for Rivian Automotive. Amazon already placed bets in the area of driverless tech, as noted on the podcast. Just recently, it announced it invested $530 million in Aurora, an autonomous car startup run by former employees of Google's Waymo and Tesla. Rivian most recently unveiled an all-electric pickup truck and SUV at the Los Angeles Auto Show in November. The latest investment fits Amazon's growing interest in transportation within its delivery chain. And now a status check. With all this talk of driverless cars, the California Department of Motor Vehicles has recently released self-reported data from companies with permits to test self-driving cars on public roads. The Wall Street Journal reports the highlights. Alphabet Inc.'s Waymo cars logged about 1.2 million miles in the reported period that ran from December 2017 through last November. GM's driverless unit Cruise clocks in 447,621 tested miles last year. Apple-tested vehicles traveled 79,745 miles, and Uber drove 8,200 miles in California, less than half the distance of a year earlier. Coming up, the confusing world of Venmo etiquette explained. When it comes to repaying friends, mobile apps have made things incredibly easy, not the least of which, the opportunities for missteps. Maybe you're being rude and don't even know it. A self-described millennial offers his take. He joins us in the podcast studio, Wall Street Journal reporter Kevin McAllister. Welcome.
Thank you.
So the millennial thing is funny. It's this stamp placed on conversations all the time. But in this case, it's super relevant. I'm one too. I'm more toward the tail end of the bracket. I'm the old kind. But it's definitely confusing for me. And this culture shift to digital seems, you know, it seems like maybe if anyone can walk us through it, it's this generation.
Yeah, I think it's a shift in culture. And for someone like me, it's, and especially even people that might be younger than me, it hasn't necessarily been a transformation as much as it has been a, you know, an entirely new way of dealing with money and dealing with technology, being that you grew up with it rather than transitioned into using it.
Right, you know, because it's such a layered, nuanced situation that we all find ourselves in now, right? Because there's etiquette that you have to learn. The tech is rather new, and we're still feeling it out. What are you coming across in your reporting?
Well, I thought one of the most interesting ones is the charge functionality that apps like Venmo use, which is really at the core an invoice, something that was before limited to a functionality that a company might have or something that you employ a service on might be able to charge you for something. But now it's one friend to another saying, hey, give me this much money and here's a push notification about it instead of just a casual conversation, a reminder, something like that. So it makes money even more clinical than it necessarily needs to be between friends. If you are sending someone's digital notification, basically tapping them on the shoulder over and over again via their phone, right, which feels different than just saying, hey, you owe me $5, you owe me $10.
Right. And then there's the instantaneous nature of it all. Does that kind of take things to another level, the fact that everything is just so instantaneous now?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I pointed out in the column I recently wrote was that before, if you owed somebody, say, $5, $10, they would have to go to an ATM, get $20 out, break a 20, and then give you a bill back. Here, it's, you know, it's such an instantaneous process of being able to be a couple clicks away that I think not everyone is on the same wavelength as far as how much time can pass between your initial request and the fulfillment therein.
The skew time situation is very interesting.
Yeah, and I think that, that different generations view it differently, but I don't think it's a gap limited generationally. I just think it's exposure to technology and
100%.
Porting previous thoughts about different technology over to this new device and us not really having this common standard of how to deal with a brand new app or a brand new way of paying someone or a brand new way of communicating.
That's so true. And it's still in motion at this point, too. So even if we do figure it out, it's a matter of just keeping up with the new tech that keeps coming out faster and quicker and making it even more confusing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure people, again, if they read my column, and I know this for a fact, based on my inbox the past week, people definitely think that my approach to it is wrong. And I'm sure to a lot of people it is.
Interesting. So what kind of pushback are you getting?
Well, I think that there's a, you know, a, again, sort of a generational divide, if you will, between, you know, seeing how certain people deal with money that, a lot of these problems could be solved with cash was one of the number one responses that I got. But the idea is, you know, that, I don't always have cash on me, and this makes it simpler and maybe to an extent safer. But I mean, that I think is still up to interpretation. But, you know, I think the pushback is that if you're owed money, you should use the tool to get your money back to make sure that you're not actually getting ripped off by your friends. And, you know, I think that, that squabbling about money, too, is something that I got feedback about, that, it, you know, you shouldn't be doing it at all. These shouldn't be your friends. But at the same time, if you're out if you're out with people, acquaintances, friends, strangers, even, you know, money is such a social thing and spending money is such a social thing. But talking about it is seemingly off limits, at least among, you know, some of the circles that, that I'm with.
Yeah, that's interesting. So in order to stay, let's say, above board in this new digital world, can you leave us with some, you know, some tips that can maybe just get us to a place that's a little less awkward?
I can certainly try. Again, you know, I try not to use the charge functionality because I think it adds, you know, that level of formality to the kind of transaction that you're really trying to have. And if you can deal with things outside of the world of the app and then port it into the actual digital experience, you get the benefits of the non-digital experience and the ease of functionality that an app provides.
I like that. Let's end on that note. Kevin McAllister, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's it for the Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.